This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Traffic jams on Chief Eddie Hoffman Highway and Ridgecrest Drive will be the new normal until September. The State Department of Transportation is working on two road projects in Bethel. Ridgecrest Drive, past Bethel Regional High School, is now paved, and a new stop sign is installed at the place where it merges onto Agagic Road. DOT spokesperson Shannon McCarthy says that the project is almost over. But there's another one. Chief Eddie Hoffman Highway is getting a total makeover, or paveover. DOT is replacing culverts, repaving the highway, and smoothing out the big bump near the BIA road that can send an unwary driver and passenger into the roof of their car. DOT divided the project into two phases, with the second one scheduled for next year. The last time the highway had extensive work done was back in 2006 and 2007 in two separate projects. DOT was surprised at how badly the highway deteriorated since then, even for Bethel's famously potholed roads.
And it will be fairly disruptive, unfortunately. But the good news, of course, is that we are taking our time to make sure that we excavate out the low points, and we're putting in some, you know, really strong asphalt. So we're hoping that we get some life out of this.
Here is the road construction schedule. Kinnick Construction will close one highway lane near the Cultural Center from July 30th until August 2nd. Kinnick will also repave parts of the highway near the BIA road, closing down a lane. On August 3rd to the 6th, Kinnick will close 3rd Avenue to replace a culvert between 3rd Avenue and Main Street. They will make a detour route. And finally, from August 7th until the 10th, Kinnick will close a section of Ridgecrest Drive to remove a culvert, but will have another route through Willow Street and 6th Avenue. And in aviation news, federal investigators credit a pilot with safely evacuating passengers before flames consumed a Grant commuter plane after it crashed at the Bethel Airport earlier this month. The Anchorage Daily News reported Monday that the National Transportation Safety Board says the pilot spotted the flames and helped 5 passengers get clear of the airplane on July 8th. Authorities have not identified the pilot or the 3 adults and 2 children on board. 3 people were transported to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Grant Aviation says its pilot is recovering from a severely sprained collarbone. Investigators say the pilot was making a second attempt to land the Cessna 208B aircraft on a flight from Newtok. The NTSB says the pilot missed the plane's first landing and the aircraft stalled while turning and crashed between 2 runways. And results are out from a survey counting the number of people experiencing homelessness in Bethel. The information comes from a single day in January. At that point, community members counted 74 people as homeless. About half the homeless individuals counted were female and half male. Almost all were Alaska Native or Native American, and most were adults. People counted were living in the Winter House, Tundra's Women's Coalition, with family or friends, or in abandoned buildings or vehicles or other locations. Survey results indicated that people who were homeless for the first time had been that way for less than a year, and people not homeless for the first time had been experiencing it for multiple years. The day the count occurred in late January, temperatures reached 32 degrees. In a press release, Winter House Board President John Cochran said the above-average temperature could have resulted in an undercount of homeless people, and he said that with state funding uncertainty, the Winter House will need to rely on financial support from the public to continue providing the same level of services. And in budget news, the University of Alaska Board of Regents voted 8-3 to move towards consolidating the entire university system. As Alaska Public Media Wesley Early reports, the board discussed several proposals for the university system well into the afternoon in Anchorage on Tuesday.
Governor Mike Dunleavy's budget cuts to the University of Alaska total about $136 million, or roughly 40% of state support. The plan Regents adopted is to reorganize the University of Alaska from 3 separate individually accredited universities to a single accredited university. UA President Jim Johnson endorsed the proposal. He says the new model would streamline curriculums and student services, as well as create a single college for each major field of study throughout the university system. Johnson says the plan saves money by eliminating a lot of administrative costs.
I think the essential functions, especially those that are academic and student-facing, yes, they need to stay out there in close proximity to students. But backroom functions, we don't need three or four different approaches, processes, systems to do lots of things that really don't add to the student experience.
A second proposal would have established a more cooperative consortium model for the university system while retaining the three universities. The three universities would make reductions to staff and faculty, administrative services, athletics, travel, and other budgetary items in order to meet those individual cuts. The proposal was put together and endorsed by the three chancellors of the universities. Their argument was, while each university would take large cuts, they would continue to maintain their ties to each individual community. UAS Chancellor Rick Caulfield says there would be a renewed focus on collaboration between the three campuses.
The integrated consortium model would build on retaining three separately accredited universities and a commitment from the chancellors and all of those involved with the leadership at those universities for dramatically enhancing the collaboration of academic programs and student services, shared business services.
The Regents and President Johnson expressed skepticism that an increase in collaboration would be as smooth as the chancellors proposed. Johnson says the board has called for increased collaboration in the past, with little success. A third proposal Regents didn't vote on came from the Dunleavy administration's Office of Management and Budget. The proposal would take place over 2 years and make targeted cuts to all three universities, including cuts to research, athletics, and the university-run Museum of the North. The proposal drew criticism from UA's accrediting body, the Northwest Commission on Colleges and Universities. The commission sent a letter to the Board of Regents on Monday describing the plan as a, quote, additional and perhaps inappropriate strong-arm guidance of the Alaska governor, end quote. The NWCCU says that the Dunleavy administration proposal could affect future accreditation for the University of Alaska. OMB Policy Director Mike Barnhill told Regents the proposal was a way for the state to enter the discussion on how to cut the university's budget. President Johnson says under any plan, it's likely that the cuts will have a ripple effect on enrollment and research. He says both are avenues that could result in less money for the university as a whole. A task force has been put together to determine how to move forward with the new single university model. In Anchorage, I'm Wesley Early.
And getting access to healthcare in rural Alaska is tough. It relies on a lot of logistics like air travel, and even public safety has an impact. Governor Mike Dunleavy's light item vetoes jeopardizes a lot of programs that healthcare providers like the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation need. Here's how Dr. Ellen Hodges of YKHC put it Tuesday.
If the runways aren't maintained, the airplanes can't land and our patients can't get to us to get health care, and our providers can't get to them to provide health care.
Hodges says public safety is another concern. Many rural Alaska communities don't have any law enforcement, and that can make it unsafe for health aides to come out to villages. Meanwhile, Bethel doesn't have enough public health nurses. Tim Struna heads public health nursing at the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services.
So we've had to kind of reshuffle things in order to make sure that the highest needs are addressed.
The Department of Health and Social Services could lose $91 million should the vetoes stand. Struna and Hodges spoke on the statewide call-in show, Talk of Alaska. This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for Yukton News coming up.